After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, and that was Herod the Great, the really horrible Herod who, I think he killed two of his children, and really he was a very, very cruel man. So during the time of Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the peoples, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, which was in about AD 4. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. And so was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Ruth, can we sort of put it up bit by bit from the beginning? I just wanted to point out a few things, because this chapter, to me, is quite amazing. And I've got a very inquiring mind, and I have to look all sorts of things up. I can't just read them and take them, you know. And I think the way I research sometimes helps my faith, but that's my way of doing it. It's not everybody's way. But it sort of blows my mind sometimes. And I've wondered a lot about this chapter. It's absolutely full of, it's a goldmine really, of prophecy, fulfillment of prophecy, dreams, obedience, evil intentions, and in the end, hope, because all of God's plans will come to pass. The first one is verse 6, where it says, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." And that is a prophecy from Micah. Most of the prophecies are from different prophets, so it's not just one. And they start way, way back in history. So that is the first prophecy, which is actually fulfilled in Matthew. And as I say, I find prophecies and prophecies being fulfilled really help my faith. I move on to another verse. The Magi followed the star they saw in the east, but not quite as we sing in the carol. And we sing, and there it did both stop and stay, right over the place where Jesus lay. Well, if you read that first part and think about it, why did the star lead them to Jerusalem? I can't say that I can tell you any answers, but the star did not take them straight to Bethlehem. Why? And all the people, because the Magi asked where Jesus was, they were all disturbed. And they went to Herod, they went to their king, and said, you know, what's going on? It's not right, there's something really wrong. Herod was furious because he was king, and he'd been told this was going to be a king that was born. So he thought it was going to be usurped. So he thought, okay, I'll have to do something about this. But when the Magi found out, it says, when the star rose, it went over to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is 6 miles from Nazareth. It probably takes 10 minutes in a car, I don't know, sorry. But walking, it would have taken those three men an hour. Now, I don't understand that bit at all. Perhaps some of you do. Perhaps someone can explain it to me. Was that a mistake that God made? He doesn't make mistakes, does he? He doesn't make mistakes. So it's very odd to me that he allowed that to happen, because of that, Herod engineered the slaughter of the innocents. But then they were guided to Jesus. So obviously the whole thing was right. And I don't quite understand why. Herod had the children murdered, but that was after Joseph and Mary took Jesus. He escaped, and they took him to Egypt. And that was because Joseph was listening again. He was listening to the dreams. We don't know what made the Magi go there. They saw a star, but they must have been open to something, to spiritual things, or perhaps they knew about God. We don't know where they came from, how far into the east they came from. Andy looks as if he does. Well, I expect he does. You've probably investigated a lot further than I have. But anyway, off they went to Egypt, because Joseph had listened to the dream. And then, yes, Herod does set about killing all these children. We don't know how many, but you can imagine, can't you, how terrible that is. We don't stop and think about that bit, that they went off to Egypt and all these parents were in absolute anguish, and a whole, not generation, but children from through and under just didn't exist in Jerusalem after that. And then there is the bit from Jeremiah about Rachel weeping for the children. She had three boys. She had Manasseh, Benjamin, and Ephraim. And all of those lived, but she did die on the road to Bethlehem with Jacob and the family, and she died during childbirth. The words there are a prophecy repeated from Jeremiah. But it's not quite as it seems, because she wasn't just crying for that. It's all about prophecies in general. And God is weeping over all these incidents. There was when Moses was born. He escaped in a basket and rushes. And then there was when Jerusalem was captured, all the people that were not killed, and thousands of them were sent to Ramah, which is in the land of Benjamin. And one of Rachel's children was Benjamin. And it's all about God crying for all these incidents through history where there have been slaughter. And it's still happening. There's slaughter everywhere. There's pain everywhere. And the murder of the innocents is still celebrated all over Europe. We don't celebrate it here, but it's celebrated on the 28th, which was Friday. And a lot of people have services and remember all that. And there are some amazing portraits, pictures of that. I think Rubens did one. There's some beautiful art about all that happening. So if you put that together, it's proof that God works in all circumstances to bring about his plans. He doesn't deliberately want people to be hurt, but he does allow it. In his plan, things go wrong because the devil is still loose at the moment. And he will overcome. He always has, all the way through the Old Testament. And I actually love reading the Old Testament and looking at all these things. People were removed. They were uprooted. They were sent to other countries. We don't know what God wants to happen. And we don't quite know how he's going to work things out. But he will. He doesn't prevent evil. He won't stop it. Don't expect an easy life. And when you become a Christian, very often life is more difficult. It's not a gospel of prosperity where you're going to get money and all the things you want. We're told that we will suffer. We have to take up our cross and suffer just as Jesus did, well, in different ways. But if you put all these prophecies, all the dreams that they had throughout Matthew, and all that, I have to come to the conclusion that, yes, it will be wonderful one day. You might be going through some horrible things at the moment. You may have had a wonderful Christmas, and that's great. But as Clive said, there's loneliness. And I don't know how often you listen to the news or whatever. I think they thought there were 14,000 people who were going to be homeless or on their own over Christmas. And I went to the town lunch because I chose not to go to my son's on Christmas Day. And Clive was there. And there were about, how many, Clive? 50, 60 other people? Yeah, and it was a lovely meal, and it was a lovely time, and it's a lovely thing that this town collects to bring people together who haven't got anybody else. And I think that's wonderful. I don't know how you feel about the refugees. There's been a lot on the news last night about these boats in the Straits of Dover, because it's a very dangerous place. But we have a lot of aliens in our land. Don't forget that Jesus was an alien in Egypt, that he went to Egypt for safety. And a lot of people are coming to us and trying to get to places of refuge. I don't know how God feels about that. He must weep about the whole mess. I don't know how you feel about immigration, etc. But I think we need to ask the Lord much more often about that situation, because it does say, don't forget the alien in your land. And so we have to, I don't know what the rest of the world does, I don't know what the government will do, but for us as Christians, we need to be praying a lot about these displaced people. Okay, eventually Jesus came back and he went to Nazareth, which was another prophecy that was fulfilled, and I think that one is from Isaiah. So you have three prophets prophesying, and the three prophecies fulfilled. You have dreams, and we need to be open to dreams. Perhaps you need to pray before you go to bed to hear something in a dream. We need prophecy. And I know Christine has had prophecies, and we need prophecy now. We need prophets. So I'll just leave that with you. But for me, all the prophecies, fulfillments, dreams that have come true, they give me hope for the future, for next year. They give me hope for this life, and they give me hope for the life after that.